Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Is together your favorite place to be. Cook a Disney-themed meal with your family. Easy peasy to make and well-balanced too. There's an Ocado just for you.
Feed a family of four for £8 or less with Ocado's new Disney-inspired meal bundles.
There's an Ocado just for you.
Subject to availability, geographical restrictions and delivery charges apply. Minimum trolley spend £40. Full T's and C's at Ocado.com.
What's going on, dear listeners? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back again. JanSport just took over my body. And
I need to call a priest about that.
It's just so much fun to do.
I was going to say, what is that song? It's from Dora the Explorer when she brings out Backpack.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Backpack.
No, I was just paying homage to Jan, just Jan. Formerly JanSport. But we are not doing any Drag Race on this episode. We will have a lot of Drag Race to talk about in the very near future because we might actually end the season at some point. After 412 years, it's been 87 years. But we are back with another roundup episode. I'm joined today by BJ.
Hello.
And Brian.
Hola.
And we are here to talk about the month in pop culture. We're also going to give a huge shout out and happy birthday to our compatriot, Eric. This episode will be dropping around his birthday, I think a day after his birthday. So if you're listening to this, just wish him some happy birthday messages on Facebook. There'll be a happy birthday post there. You can spread some love and show him some birthday cheer on the Facebooks. But he is not with us today because he's busy drinking.
He hates us.
That's who. He hates us, so he's busy drinking. It happens.
He's got curling and God knows what else he's doing. Raiding.
He drinks to forget, but he always remembers.
He's going out for some hookers and blow for his birthday. It's fine. It's what you do at age 73.
Oh. Wow. Is it his birthday or are we getting him drags for his birthday? Is that what we're doing?
This is the roast of Eric.
Yes, welcome to the roast of Eric. Let's get this roast to cooking. Sorry, I'm doing my best pheromone for you all. Well, we are here to talk about the month in pop culture. It is our April roundup episode. We have three topics. We've got some one-ups. I won't even say three because sometimes we pull out multiple one-ups.
I was going to say.
I think I only have one this time. I think you have two on the docket, sir.
Actually, in standard fashion, it has already changed to like... it's already changed like three times. And one is just a quick shout-out. And one is definitely some surprising news for me. Y'all probably already knew, but I'm going to wait to tell you till the end of the episode. So it forces people to either skip to the end or listen to the whole episode.
Oh, I don't know if I know. I'm excited or
come on, foreshadowing. I love it. I love it. Well, let us go ahead and dive into the world of pop culture. Brian, why don't you kick us off with your topic? What are you talking about?
So,
what you talking about, Willis?
I don't know. In true COVID era, because I think we're still in that, fashion, I was sitting there trying to think about what I was going to talk about. And I was like, I don't even know what I have watched in the last time since we recorded. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, what did I? And mostly watch, because honestly, I just don't have any energy for many other forms of media these days. However, in some tribute to the subject matter, it occurred to me very late and in a very specific like moment of my day, mainly about 20 minutes prior to this episode recording, it hit me. I watched the show Severance, which is the new office workplace sort of dystopian future series from Apple TV, or on Apple TV, from the minds of production company of Ben Stiller, his production company. And it's a really weird show, and I'm not going to spoil much, because honestly, it's one of those shows that the less you know going into it, I think the more interesting it is, and certainly little key surprises are kind of crucial to the story. But high level elevator pitch of the show is that you can sever your working life from your home life. And I still need to dig into the inspiration where this came from. It reminded me somewhat of my own profession, which is working for the government and having things you can't talk about, like, you know, like what you're doing during the work day with everybody. You know, it's kind of maybe tied somewhat to that, but this is a dystopian sort of cautionary tale story where it is not just you can't talk about it. Like, you literally have no capability because you have no memory of it. You're almost split into two distinct people sharing one body. And so in that way, you go to work and you get in the elevator and you go down. I believe, yeah, you're going down into the basement of this building of the Lumen Corporation. And once you're down there, like as you are kind of descending into hell or purgatory, you kind of undergo this shift. And that's the severance process. It's like a chip in your head. And they actually depict this very well. You sit there and you see a character, Adam Scott plays the protagonist of the show. And he has this shift in his eyes and his posture. His whole demeanor just shifts. And in this case, it's actually kind of against what you'd expect. His day life is really sad and tragic. He actually lost his wife fairly early on. You find out that, you know, he's got this tragedy, tremendous tragedy in his life. And so he went and took this position knowing that he could forget that for half of his day, or less than half, but, you know, a third of his day. And so the person that emerges from that elevator into the office is someone who actually is like probably what he was prior to having that trauma, because he doesn't remember that trauma. The innies, they call them, the sort of inner part of their personality that is awake during the office time, they are free from all external memories. And so that trauma does not exist in a tangible way for him. So he can be, like, you know, productive and do whatever he needs to do without distraction. That's kind of the idea here. So that's like the A story. Like, that's like the primary focus. But what is delightful about this Severance is that it goes beyond that. You get into, what is this company? Why does this company have this? The things that they do when they're severed, the office like work, because they spend a lot of time in that environment. It's almost inexplicable. It doesn't make any sense. They're at a computer, very old school, like CRT computer, and they're doing something with numbers. They're kind of sorting numbers into bins, and they have to sort them not by like tangible criteria, but by how it makes them feel. And so if they look at a number and that number makes them anxious, they actually take that and they move it to the anxious bin. So it's like, none of it is like, it doesn't make sense. It's almost in a sort of a timeless bubble where you have a mix of very old sort of 70s or even before that, mid-century modern kind of like what we thought like the Jetsons would be, kind of future, but very old school.
Kind of, almost kind of like, what is it? It's called, I know in Batman, the animated series, how they had like futuristic technology, but everything looked like it was like forever in like the 50s or 60s. It's called Dark Deco.
Dark Deco. I like that. So let's go with that.
So yeah. it's, it's like a slightly more modernized version of Dark Deco, because I've seen production art and I've seen a trailer for it. So yeah, it definitely gives that sort of Dark Deco weird sort of like you've got super futuristic technology, but everybody still wears like a pantsuit or something.
It seems like it's set in like the modern, like it's not meant to be really like a far future or anything. It's meant to be contemporary, but this Lumen company has like this culture and this lore that seems to go back at least a century or more. And they all worship the Egan family, and they worship him in a way in that they like treat Egan, the progenitor of this company, like he is a messianic figure, and they quote him, and there's a whole like inner exhibit to him and his greatness and the family lineage. It reminded me a little bit about when you played like Portal 2 and you started getting this weird backstory about the company and the founder of the company, and they would like do these little vignettes. I think his name was Thor, maybe. Anyway, J.K. Simmons delightfully voicing this character. But anyway, it had a similar kind of like weird thing. So that's like going on there too. Then you get the Office satire, where it's taking like things like, oh, you've done really well this quarter, you get a bonus, or you get a party. And it plays off that idea to give these most ridiculous awards and most insane, like the highest prize that you can get if you do really well and you're the achiever of the quarter is a waffle party. And they don't tell you what a waffle party is until the last episode or second to last episode of the season. It did get renewed for season two, by the way. So if you're all on the bubble because you're like don't know how it's going to go, there's definitely more to come. But the waffle party is like inexplicable. You're just like, what a waffle party for really? Like it's like, that is the biting satire. They have elements of like, instead of going to like a wellness center or a HR counselor, you go to this wellness visit or this, I forgot what they call it, but there's this like thing where this woman, who is played by the actress that played, Sierra in, oh gosh, what was the show?
Dollhouse?
Yes.
Sierra. Yeah.
I need to look her name up. She's fantastic in this show. She like sits there and reads in a very hushed and like reassuring tone. She reads things about your outie. Your outie being the person who you are in the outer world, which you know nothing about other than your name. She reads like basically kind of like your outie is an accomplished pianist. Your outie has the respect of many of his compatriots. Like ridiculous, like okay, who cares? But to them, it's like, oh my God, this is so reassuring and rewarding. And it so like there's so much of that in the office world. And then you get outside the office world and it's also batshit because there's conspiracies going on about why people do or do not want severance, possibly the use of severance in other things and other parts of society, like having a baby when you're severed so you don't remember the trauma of childbirth. Yeah, it's like this show, I'm finally seeing people talk about it, but it is one of the most interesting original shows I've seen in forever. Dicken Lachman Lachman, yeah. What a great name.
She's amazing. I love her.
Two other things about this show. It features some actors that I would never have expected to see us in this kind of production. Patricia Arquette plays the boss, Miss Cobell, and she's an interesting character, and she's very like, you know, there's stuff going on, but you don't know her motivations yet. You're still trying to figure that out. But she's like a very hard driving boss. You know, she's kind of a super successful, just driven woman. John Turturro and Christopher Walken, they are in this piece. And again, amazing actors, very like well recognized.
Michelle Visage full reference there with the giggle as well.
The Drag Race is infused into me.
The same parts.
Totoro and Walken have this delightful sort of office romance. I will spoil that much. I will not tell you how it ends and how whatever, but I am not kidding you when I say it is an office romance and played by these, and I guess in real life, they're good friends. And, but John Turturro is an amazing actor. I just started watching the Batman and I have not gotten to his part yet, but I'm very excited because anytime he shows up, I love him. And Walken, I mean, God, I didn't even realize he was still alive. It's horrible to say that.
Poor Christopher Walken.
Listen, I think in my head, he and Harvey Keitel are like, they're like almost the same person. So I knew Harvey Keitel had died. And so I think every time I see Walken is still alive, I think I'm misremembering that Harvey Keitel did. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's
you said Harvey, and I swear you said Cardi, and I was like, Cardi B? Like, you confused Christopher Walken and Cardi B?
Oh my God.
I was very confused.
My brain's already crazy, right? But yeah, so that's a delightful, they're fantastic. So like all of this, if any of this sounds interesting, if you need a new, I don't even know what genre, other than like a Black Mirror, I would say
it's listed as thriller when I Google search Severance.
Yeah.
Thriller is probably the best fit. I would say thriller / speculative fiction, a la Dark Mirror, which is oftentimes
and sci-fi.
Yeah. Oh, very much got some sci-fi elements in it. So yeah, Severance on HBO, on Apple TV. It is worth that $5 a month. There have been now at least four shows that I've really enjoyed on that network. So for $5 a month, it's a pittance. It's a cup of coffee. Even you can watch amazing television for the
I can't spend that $5 a month. Those extravagances are why I cannot afford a house. Oh. As a millennial in this world, if I would just stop the avocado toast and the Apple TV subscription, I could afford a home.
Too much avocado toast, man. You got to get out there and you got to work. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Oh, all right, Kim Kardashian, calm the fuck down.
I thought you were doing like a Britney Spears kind of reference.
No, yeah. Have you not seen that video of Kim Kardashian talking about how nobody wants to go out and work?
Oh, it's bad.
I give her the least amount of time I can in my life, right? Unless she intrudes upon with her and Pete Davidson and whatever. Anyway, I highly recommend The Severance. I would give it all the flames. Not that we're reviewing it that way because it's not a movie. Please let me know if you like it and what you think, and tell others because it is just, again, the best kept secret right now.
So I've seen it pop up on my timeline on Twitter once or twice, but I don't know. I need to start watching more new shows. Like there's two seasons of Ted Lasso, and it'll probably be a third before I finally get around to watching that. This has come up, Station 11, so many shows that I need to watch, and Apple TV like specifically. And I just haven't gotten around to it.
Foundation is excellent. Highly recommend Foundation. Ted Lasso, definitely, which you of all people like need to watch Ted Lasso because of your appreciation for Bill Lawrence. We've talked about this, I think.
Yeah. I forgot that he was involved with that. Yeah. I probably should.
Huge. Like he is half of the equation as much of, anyway, but yes, Apple TV does a lot of good treasures. So please, if you had been like disregarding it, and I am not an Apple person, our present company can attest to this. I am absolutely the last person who would pay Apple for anything. Apple TV is a very good investment. Not that it is, but it's really
good. That's why I don't pay for it, but I won't give them any of my money unless I'm buying something off of iTunes. But I don't do that often. But when you're talking about it, the workplace part of it, for some reason, really makes me think of WandaVision. That first episode where Vision goes to work and it's like, what do we make here? We don't make anything, but they're making computing forms, like just that kind of redundant kind of mindless work that Wanda was making them do. And then when these parts of their being are removed during the workday, do they just not have any of those memories? Because you're saying like the trauma is removed, but do they not remember like their spouse, period?
Correct. So you are fundamentally like a blank slate when you start at a company. and then you
a tabula rasa, if you will,
tabula rasa
for Buffy reference.
You build
and
memories.
I said goodbye to you. Goodbye to. Oh, sorry. That's for any Buffy fans out there, because if I say tabula rasa and you don't instantly think of the final scene of Michelle Branch singing at the Bronze, then you are not a true Buffy fan.
That's a good callback. But no, it's you're a complete, like, you build memories of your time at work. And so your only memories. So it's if you really think about this as a, like, you're just a new person, but you're sharing a body. And there's just absolutely no connection. Like, that's their reality. And it's horrifying. It's hell. And that's what they explore, because they don't ever leave work. They physically leave work, but that entity, the any, is always existing only in the office. At first, there are things that happen, and I will not spoil. There are interactions between the any and the outie that are still going to happen. Like, whether it's, you know, people seeing, anyway, there's things, the shenanigans that will follow, but it is a
so it's a reverse dollhouse.
Yes, actually, yes. That's a good point. It's kind of a reverse dollhouse. Yeah,
with Dyken Lockman being part of it, it's even odder then. Okay, because that was also kind of like the weird thing about it. And I guess in the doll state, like, you could program them to know how to do certain things, but it kind of makes you sit there and go, okay, well, so if you don't have any of the memories or skills that you have as your outside person, like, how are you a functional adult, even as a clean slate?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's that weird part of it. And I guess that's the, like,
that's the conceit. You just kind of have to,
yeah, maybe, yeah, the suspension of disbelief of, like, okay, this is how, by this is part of the programming, is it gives you this kind of, like, baseline of skills to learn how to do the job and then continue on.
Or exactly. Maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is to see how people develop with enough life experience to know that, like, hey, I'm an adult, but also once you take away trauma and certain skills, you're not technically the same person.
Yeah,
you were before. So
no, it's making that case somewhat. I don't know if they're going to lean in on that in the future seasons, but there's a lot. It is. I'm glad you mentioned Dollhouse, even though I don't know why I didn't connect that, because you're right. I mean, Dyken. Yeah. Anyway, it is in absolutely that same space of, like, what does it mean to be a person, have memories? What does all of that interaction do to you? It's exactly in that same space, but with that extra satirical office sort of culture thing going. So it's,
yeah. Yeah. As an office comedy rather than kind of a thriller. I don't even know how to describe it. BJ, have you watched Dollhouse?
Huh? Yeah. Dollhouse, okay. I would definitely describe as like a sci-fi thriller. A thriller mystery. Sci-fi thriller mystery would probably be the accurate classification for Dollhouse.
Okay. I was going to say, I wasn't sure if you had seen it, because any listeners out there, I know that Joss Whedon is a very touchy subject in the world of pop culture, and I'm not saying that I support nor condone what he has done, but as a piece of media and art, Dollhouse is amazing. It takes a couple of episodes because Fox, I know I'm just taking this on a whole other tangent, but the first season of Dollhouse, when Fox put this together, they brought Whedon on based off of the Buffy and Angel work that he did and this overarching plot lines and, like, all of this stuff, and then basically cut him off the knees and said, no, we want kind of an episode of the week feel. The first five episodes are that way. He redid the first five episodes to be episode of the week, have that that kind of feel, and then he was able to turn around and get them to let him do an overarching plot, and that was a much better format for the show. So if you have a chance, get past those first five episodes and then watch that first the rest of the first season, and then Epitaph One, which is the final piece of that first season, ties back in and was what got them a second season to wrap up the story. And then Epitaph 2 closes out the book on Dollhouse. So good. So I can't recommend that enough. And I'm, now that I know more about what Severance is like, this may be something that I dive into next weekend and kind of tackle and see if I can't get into that as well, because it sounds right up my alley. So I'm excited about that.
When somebody gives me their login, I'll give it a watch.
Awesome. So that is Severance, Apple TV. Go check it out. It's being highly recommended by this pod. So let us know what you think. If you've seen it, or if you use this recommendation to go watch it, then let us know in the in our comments or message us and let us know what you thought. All right. Okay. So BJ, you're going to be up next. But before you tell the audience what you're going to be talking about, I think it's pretty funny that about 2 years ago, the first installment of this was Josh's last topic on the show.
Was it? Was it Josh? Yes. I thought it was Eric.
No, I'm like 99.99999% sure. And this was his topic at our last in-person recording.
Oh my God.
When I was still living over there with him right before I moved out of Orlando.
Oh, and I brought the cupcakes. I remember you were drunk.
I mean, that was a lot of our recordings, but never as bad as Brian at the Luke Cage.
Oh my God. I was pretty much gone on that one.
Because he doesn't remember even recording that episode. So therefore, not as drunk as that. But yeah, when you said that you were going to talk about this movie, I was like, oh my God. Because, so we're what, like 2.5-3 weeks out from the last time, from the 2 year anniversary of our last in-person recording.
Yeah.
And that picture came up and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's been 2 years. And then we were getting ready for this one. And you were like, this is my topic. And I was just like, oh wow. That would have been the April. We recorded at the end of March for the April podcast.
Yeah.
Which would have been 2 years ago. So 2 years later, what is the next installment of this topic series that you're talking about today?
So I am going to be talking about Sonic 2. Gotta go fast.
Electric Boogaloo.
So what's hilarious is me and my friend Adam were like, what do we want to see? We want to see a movie. And we decided we were going to go see Sonic 2. And I realized the night before at 11 o'clock at night, I'm literally settling in to go to bed. I did not see Sonic 1. I had not seen Sonic 1. I literally watched.
You had 2 years. You had one job.
I literally had watched it in clips. I had watched it in like clips, and I thought I had seen it because I just literally looked up all the iconic scenes. Like I,
you saw
like
all everything. The Olive Garden commercials.
Oh God! Yeah,
because like, when you're here, your family.
So I was like, okay, I saw it, and then like while I looked at a trailer, and then I was like, I was looking at some of the advertisement interviews. Which I have a slight gripe on those, advertisement interviews and all the publicity for the movie. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't watched this fucking movie. And thankfully, shout out to Zach. Thank you so much for your, Paramount Plus login. It's up on Paramount Plus. So I watched it like at 11 o'clock at night, the day before I went to go see it. And
let me ask, was it really that necessary to watch the first one before you saw the second one?
Honestly,
like, was Cyclops's storyline that like captivating and thrilling that it needed to be seen before too?
Not really, no.
I was just curious.
And here's the thing. Here's what I love about like Sonic and Sonic 2. These movies are 100%. Built like the video game with just enough narrative bits in it to be interesting. But like the first Sonic game, you're literally a fast hedgehog beating up a weird old man turning animals into robots. Sonic 2, you do the same thing, but you're joined by a little fox kid with two tails. Well, you're joined by a mutant with two tails. You know, Sonic 3, you're doing the same thing, but on an island, and there's a red dude that wants to punch you in the face all the time. So, like...
So they combine 2 and 3 into Sonic 2, the movie.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so
actually,
cool.
Actually, they technically mined... They might, when I tell you this thing is so Easter egg heavy, you can't walk anywhere without stepping on one.
Easter egg man heavy?
Boo.
Wah, wah, wah.
Boo. Boo. And this, and Easter was this past Sunday too, so that's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate too. Oh, boo. But no, I will say it was so much fun. If you have played anything related to Sonic the Hedgehog, watched anything related to Sonic the Hedgehog, including the god-awful Sonic Underground cartoon, there is a reference in it for you. And I gotta say, I was super excited that Colleen O'Shaughnessy, I said her name right, she does a lot of voice acting for animated series and video games. I believe she is the longest running voice actress for Tails. She did Tails for the Sonic Boom video game, the Sonic Boom series, the animated series. She did Tails for Sonic Dash 2. Shit, she's literally done Tails, I want to say, for the past almost decade. So for them to actually take a voice actress from the video games that has had such a long standing in the video games and put her in an act in the movie, I felt like that was a huge deal, because I don't think they have, like, Michelle Yeoh, a lot of big actors voice video game characters, but it feels like it's really hard for people who start at, like, voice acting video game characters and animated characters to break into movies. Because I can't imagine, like, a bigger backhand than, like, you voice this character for, like, 2 decades. I believe that's the current voice actor for Sonic in the video games. And then you're like, oh no, we're going to go with, like, this super successful star, which makes sense business-wise. Because, you know, you want to get enough people in the theater. Like, I love Idris Elba as Knuckles. He is absolutely hilarious. That kind of deadpan comedy is great in the movie. Was it Bill? Not Bill. What's wrong with me? Ben Schwartz. For those of you that don't know, Ben Schwartz voiced Dewey Duck in the newer DuckTales. He is a really great voice actor for Sonic. He knocks it out of the park again. Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik / Eggman is hilarious and even more unhinged in this movie, which kind of puts him right on par with, like, literally a mustache twirling supervillain, and it's great. Every scene he's in. The only thing I will say, though, one of the things I will say, though, is I feel like they need to start scaling back on the human characters. I love James Marsden. Honestly, they could have just left in James Marsden and Tika Sumpter as the Wachowskis. And I would have been happy. I like Agent Stone, but I feel like we can start retiring him. A bit more. There's just a handful of side human characters that they film scenes, and I'm like, I really didn't need this. And a lot of people are saying that they actually only the human characters that are, like, the heart of the series really need to be left in it at this point. I will say Natasha Rothwell as Rachel, which is Maddie's sister, she hams it up pretty good in a wedding scene. So it was fun. And then the rumor mill are actually right now, it sounds like Paramount Plus is ready to cash in on this. And it looks like they may be doing a Knuckles series for Paramount Plus. So we will see where that goes, but it looks pretty good. Easter eggs abound. There's a cafe called Mean Bean, and that is a reference to one of the weird Sonic puzzle games that came out like a decade ago called Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. I was looking at that and I was like, why does that sound familiar and nothing else? And it was, yeah, no. So yeah, when I tell you,
is it like a Dr. Mario Tetris type of thing or what is it?
Yeah, it's like Robotnik's making like these little bean monsters and the machine, you're supposed to combine them to create one. It's like a Super Puzzle Fighter. It makes me think of Super Puzzle Fighter. I think that came out on Genesis. There's also a really cute moment where Agent Stone's in the Death Egg and he's flipping through the manual, and the manual looks like the Sega Genesis instruction manual, like the original one for the Sega Genesis. And I was like, they know what they're doing. So yeah, it's honest. I mean, so in, even if you don't like the video game references, it's just a fun movie. There are some neat little story-wise, there's some neat little parallels between Robotnik and Sonic. Robotnik kind of slowly going crazy, being like alone on this one mushroom planet. And then Sonic at the first movie kind of being alone and using his speed to kind of simulate friends. So there's a nice little parallel between the two characters that happens. So yeah, it's cute. It's very, very cute. I'm very interested in what they're going to do. They're obviously going to do a third movie. I will not spoil the, unless you guys don't care. I'm pretty sure you guys don't care.
I've had 2 years to see the first one. It was the only movie poster that was up for a good solid 8 months because it was the last like big movie to come out before COVID shut the world down.
And then it was released on, I was going to say it was released on streaming service really fast too. Really fast. Oh, I see what it did. No, so like post-credit scene is Shadow the Hedgehog from the Sonic Adventure 2 games. So it looks like we're not sure if Jim Carrey is going to make good on his promise to retire. I would...
As if it was like a threat or a promise. Like,
right?
I'm going to quit acting after Sonic 2. Is that a promise?
I haven't really
done much.
I love, honestly, though, he's so good as Eggman, and each iteration of him, like the first movie, he's got his hair and everything, and this one, he's completely bald. He's a little bit closer to that Eggman design from Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, which is my favorite design. I think it's the one that's very anime-like, but... there's even a scene where Stone is just cycling through outfits for him, and there's one outfit that looks identical to that one. So I feel like you can't have a third one without Eggman as the main villain. I mean, you can have other antagonists, but I would absolutely love him to come back for the third one, for the third and at least one more time. So yeah, no, it's great. It was fun. If you need to take your kids somewhere... If you're a weird Sega head like me, and just want to take a full on nostalgia trip, definitely go see it. And shout out! So when they open up those movies, they do the Sega theme, but in the background in little screens is all of the Sega Genesis properties. And in one little screen, there's one for Space Channel 5, which for those of you that don't know, is a rhythm dance game that takes place in like a 1960s ideal version of the future. And I need that to be the next Sega movie, like now.
No.
I need it. You have Channing Tatum play Jaguar, the male lead, and have him up there doing his dances. I need it. I need it now. Video game movies, honestly, Sonic and Sonic 2 are two of the top tier video game movies. I know the bar is super low. But
that's true.
I need my Space Channel 5 movie. I'm that much closer to getting it.
I mean, it Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 are no 1995 Super Mario Brothers.
Absolutely not. Get the fuck out
of
here. But. Get the fuck out. Get out of here. Get it away from me. I tried to hate watch that movie with some friends, and we couldn't even finish it. I was
Bob Haskins and John Leguizamo.
As soon as his shirt goes on, I'm not even paying attention. As soon as their clothes get put back on, I'm not even paying attention. I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. So, but yeah, absolutely. It's worth a watch. I'm sure it's going to be on Paramount Plus coming up here in the next. I can't remember the new streaming laws, but it'll be up there relatively soon because I know the Batman just popped up on HBO Max. So, like this week. So it should be popping up there soon.
Well, that's right. Now we can spend 4 days watching the Batman. Just parcel it out in like 45-minute increments and see how I get through it.
Literally, what I've been doing, I started it yesterday and I watched like the first 45 and I was like, all right, pause that. Come back tomorrow for the next installment.
Hey, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I like that whole idea of because we're so used to watching series like that. We're so used to watching series like very you can binge a series if you want, but you can literally watch. Oh, hey, there's a cliffhanger here. You know what? I'm going to take a break. Go grab dinner. You know, watch something else. You know, be productive. Go outside, touch some grass. And then
walk children in nature.
Touch some grass? What are we talking about here?
That's apparently been a thing where like that's some form of self-care is going outside and like physically interacting with nature. Like so people when people are like, "Have you had some water? Are you okay? Have you touched some grass today? Have you spoken to a plant in your home, maybe?" But I mean, I don't talk to mine.
It's still mad at me because I don't know how to take care of it.
It still has
green like prongs to it. So I haven't killed it officially, but
I have three succulents that I swiped from a wedding, in my bathroom that I've actually been taking. They're really hard to kill, but I've actually been taking successful care of them. And I noticed this morning that occasionally I just kind of poke and touch at them. Because when you water them, they get really engorged with water. So I just kind of poke at it. And I'm like, is this my version of touching grass? Is this enriching my life somehow? Because I don't know how long I've been doing it. Like, the wedding was about 4 or 5 months ago. So I'm like, have I been molesting my plants this entire time and just dissociated it out of my mind?
Yes. Yes, you have. And I mean, yeah. when I started working for the company that I'm working for now, they sent us a succulent as a gift because one of the merchants on the platform, I guess it's part of their deal. And they sent this little succulent, but no instructions on how to care for it. And the thing is, like, if you look up how to take care of a succulent, there's like a million different types of succulents and they all care differently. All it literally was a cylinder, like a cardboard cylinder with our company logo on the front and a little like eyedropper. And that's it. And they said, here's your new plant. Post it on social media. And I'm like, first off, no. Because I will not be posting hashtag grow with Groupon on my personal Instagram story with me in underwear. No, that is not happening. That is not how this works. That is not how any of this works. And I need instructions on how to take care of this thing because I have no idea how to do that. I've only like killed off 4 or 5 like prongs of it. The rest of it still alive, so good, I guess. I don't touch it every day, so I don't go out and touch grass.
see that's your problem. Maybe it needs
to clean up after my dog. So like there is a
there you go.
There is a plastic barrier between my hand and his shit and the ground, but close enough.
Oh, and before we move over to the next topic. Paramount Plus actually did fully acknowledge that that Sonic movie 3 is officially in development, and next year there will be an original Knuckles series with Idris Elba. So they officially tweeted that out.
So can I just tell you that anytime you mention Idris Elba, like, I know that there's a ton of other things that should go through my mind when I hear the name Idris Elba.
Uh-huh.
But instead, all I hear is, "We can go riding around on my scooter." If you've never heard London Boy by Taylor Swift from her album Lover, when she was filming Cats with Idris, she has this voice clip of him saying, "We could go riding around on my scooter." And it's at the beginning of London Boy. And it is the first thing that I think about when I hear the name Idris Elba. Just throwing that out for everybody. Maybe somebody listening can empathize with me for that. But I need to know, BJ.
Yes.
Was there as blatant of a product placement in Sonic 2 as there was in Sonic 1 with the Olive Garden?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It Olive Garden again, or what was it?
No, it was in fact Olive Garden, and the best part is that so they introduced GUN, which is the Global United, like, how is that, Guardian United Nations. And that's a government group in like Sonic Adventure 2. And the government official at the end of the first movie gives them a gift card to Olive Garden and then invites them to brunch at the Olive Garden, which I don't think they do. And at one point he shows back up in the movie, and then he's like, he's just, one of them goes, "There's no Olive Garden on this island." He goes, "Actually, yes, there is." And I'm just like, these bitches, they're not.
Unlimited breadsticks and mimosas at the Olive Garden brunch.
But I appreciate their hustle, because I figured you could easily get like a shoe company, like Nike, any shoe company would totally jump on, like, let's do Sonic shoes, which I think Nike did for the first movie. But they're gonna
do they have blood in the soul?
No, they don't have sealed blood in the soul. But yeah, no, I was like, out of all of your sponsors, you guys got Olive Garden. It's very similar to the Krispy Kreme thing that they did for the Power Rangers movie.
I feel like with so much time between Sonic 1 and Sonic 2, they heard all of the jokes and just said, "You know what, fuck it. We're going to lean in even harder into the Olive Garden product placement for Sonic 2.
I absolutely could see Ben Schwartz being like, "Hey, let's just do the Olive Garden." Like, I could see him walking around in the sound booth being like, "You guys want to get an Olive Garden? Let's pick up Olive Garden." And some studio execs like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And Ben Schwartz being like, "I'm never, no."
But the fact that they had James Marsden and Tika Sumpter literally do the catchphrase, "Because when you're here, you're family." Like, that's the one thing that just stuck out for me in like everything.
Yeah.
For the first one. All right. So, BJ, what is your flame rating for Sonic 2? More Sonics is.
Too many Sonics. Sonic 2, Red Sonic and Blue Sonic. I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
All right. Well, that is Sonic 2 coming to a streaming platform called Paramount Plus in the very near future, if you would like to go watch it. All right, dear listeners, we thank you for joining us. It is always a pleasure to have you listen to our pop culture roundups. You can check out our website and find all of our social media platforms, find our YouTube channel, find our Twitches, all of the good stuff by going to flameonshow.com. You can even check out our Threadless shop and purchase your own Flame On swag. And you can check out a link to our Patreon, patreon.com/flameonshow, where you can join at any one of our 4 levels and get some great perks and swag there as well. We love all of our patrons. We love all of our listeners. First time, multiple listener, long time listener. All of you that are out there, anybody that is listening, we love and appreciate you because you keep us doing what we're doing because you're listening. So check out our website, flameonshow.com, and make sure you go and check out our Patreon at patreon.com/flameonshow.
Is together your favorite place to be. Cook a Disney themed meal with your family. Easy peasy to make and well balanced too. There's an Ocado just for you.
Feed a family of four for £8 or less with Ocado's new Disney inspired meal bundles.
There's an Ocado just for you.
Subject to availability, geographical restrictions and delivery charges apply. Minimum trolley spend £40. Full T's and C's at Ocado.com.
All right. We got one more topic to discuss. So let's dive into what I'm going to talk about. And that is a petite, little dainty show called Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, which is a reality competition series. Let's see. According to Game Shows Wiki, because there isn't just like a regular wiki page for this, Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls is a 1-hour reality series that follows Lizzo, aka Melissa Jefferson, as she searches for a confident, badass, or as she searches for, not for a, for confident, badass women to join the ranks of the big girls for her world tour. Really, it starts with them essentially auditioning for the tour by making their way to her Bonnaroo performance, and that is kind of like the ultimate final audition. So it is an 8-episode limited series on Amazon Prime Video. And the episodes run about 45 or so minutes. And it follows originally 13 girls that come in and do a one-on-one audition for Lizzo. And she talks to them. And then they do some freestyle dancing. And they were all sent, I think it was 8 bars or 16 bars of choreo that the girls do on any given performance for, if the music is to be believed, because they played it repeatedly, it is for Tempo, her song with Missy Elliott from her first album, 'Cause I Love You.
Yay!
And it's so good. And you get to meet these girls and get a bit of their story. From that first audition, she then has them learn some more choreo, breaks them into groups, and they do a battle. And she lets them know that while there are 13 girls auditioning, there are only 10 spots on the stage at Bonnaroo that are up for grabs as far as for this audition process. We get to see a variety of women from younger 20s who are kind of exploring dance and breaking boundaries as TikTok and social media influencers with body positivity, and they're dancing and kind of bringing this real, just overly abundant positive vibe and message to the world. You've got some that turn to dance because they were there at 5 years old and saw their father shot and killed by police and used dance to kind of cope with the trauma. And that has shaped them into the person that they are. You have a trans woman who is dealing with everything from, you know, being kind of picked on for being too feminine to be masculine to be feminine, too big, to all of this, and is one of, from the get-go, one of Lizzo's favorites from the audition tape. And there's a whole journey that she goes through in this process. And just there's a whole plethora of stories and a whole wide variety of people that in life experiences. There is a South Korean girl who one of the challenges through the series is being comfortable in your own skin, which leads to a nude photo shoot. And there is a lot of conversation around her because she's very hesitant to do it. Because her fallback plan, if she doesn't make it as a dancer, is to become a teacher in South Korea, where Korean culture, as she explains, her mom is Korean, a very kind of conservative Korean woman. Her dad is white. And she's been raised in that culture of you keep yourself covered up. Being demure and modest is what is really kind of the driving force around women in Korean culture. So when she talks about this and her backup plan to be a teacher, she's like, if they can search my name and they find a nude photo of me on the internet. Now, mind you, it's not just like, hey, here are my titties and my vagina. Like, just, you know, like, that's not how these photos are done. They're all done very artful and tastefully, but she's like, honest, even in a bikini or underwear, she's like, they won't hire me. And this is, you know, I want to be a dancer, but if that doesn't work out, I've spent all of this money on my schooling to do this. So there's kind of a whole growth and realization and kind of a journey, even just in her own mind, to be able to say, do I want to commit myself to my goal of being a dancer? Is that going to be it for me? Do I want to take this leap? And she does. She modifies it. She wears skin colored, you know, undergarments for the shoot and modifies it to make herself feel comfortable. Because as my friend Jamie, friend of the pod, who is kind of the one that told me about I knew the show was there, but he mentioned it and had brought up that I should watch it. He compared it to, in essence, to the Great British Bake Off, and the fact that it is a competition, but it is very much a feel good, positive competition series. There aren't steady eliminations. You know, we don't start with 10, you know, we start with 13 and we only have 10 spots. So there is a cut that happens at the beginning, but this isn't like every week where it's like, okay, you've got to go home. Okay. You don't make it. There are these 10 spots that are there in this show at Bonnaroo. So if they do what they need to do and they really push themselves and they're going to do this, they could potentially all make it to this performance. They don't. Spoiler alert. There are eliminations that happen. The villain of the season, there's one girl that I was like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, ooh. I'm texting him as I'm watching all of these episodes. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, this girl really is the villain of the season. Like, they are just pitting her against everyone. And to the point where they do these music videos. Like, they're split into three groups and they're given a section of the house because they live in the big girl's mansion. Like, this place is really gorgeous. And they're given a song. I think it's Missy Elliott's We Run This. And they they get to create a little music video and they're challenged to be creative and think outside of the box. And one of the girls, the quote unquote villain, she's as close to a villain that we get in this season or this series, stops and flirts with the director. And I'm like, ma'am. And they talk about being professional, how like all these girls are an extension of Lizzo when they're on a music video set.
Yeah.
And she stops and she's like, she asks if she can, you know, speak to her. And she's just like, I just want to tell you that I think you're really sexy. And I'm like, ma'am, not her flirting with the director. And mind you, I'm cooking breakfast at this point because I watched two episodes on Friday night and then I watched six episodes Saturday. And I must have paused it and I made a comment. I texted him a comment about that. And then I finished watching the episode and Lizzo calls it out at the end, and she's like, we need to have a talk in front of everybody. And is like, you know, that's not professional. You need to be professional when you're on set. And I was like, wow. I was like, all right. I was like, look at them coming for this. But it is, during certain episodes, they do different classes with the girls to get them in touch with themselves and their bodies, their sensuality, their even just kind of building a respect for yourself and a love for yourself, because these are all plus size women that are doing something that is typically a petite, thin, fit world of dance. And sitting there as a bear, as a husky dude, when they're doing these classes, it kind of gives you a minute to think about, like, yourself and try to realize that these are all things that I should be doing for myself. These are all things that I should be thinking about for myself. There was one point, and I forget what the class was, but they were sitting on the floor and the woman was like, I want you to breathe in and then breathe out all of the hurt and the trauma of the last 18 months. And it was just like, oh God, like I can't do this right now because I'm just going to start crying on my couch. But like legit, one of the girls just kind of broke down because she was like, I realize that I don't breathe. You know, I lost my grandmother to COVID and I didn't breathe. This happened because of COVID and I didn't breathe. So to just breathe out that hurt, it just released so much. And I was like, God damn, like there really is, for being a dance competition show, there are so many positive messages that can be taken away from it that it's astounding. So as we get to it, and then the last kind of funny part about the quote unquote villain, she had a reverse Laganja Estranja moment because she got called out about the flirting with the director. And then this was the music video episode. So Jayla, who is the trans woman who was on the show, Charity, who is a much darker skinned black girl who has, I think she may have hair issues. So she like always has a very close shaved head. And I forget the other one. I'm so mad at myself for, I was trying to remember all the names, but their group won and they were all given the Juice Award. And like, everybody was like all excited. And it was like, you know, Lizzo was like, if anybody tells you that you can't do it, you need to tell them to shut the fuck up, even if it's yourself. And like one of the girls is like, you know, shut the fuck up, like, and like telling herself. It was this whole like heartfelt moment. And then Jasmine was like, can I just say something? And she was like, I just didn't expect this moment. And like made the whole thing about how she was upset that she like did something that had her talk to like that in front of everybody. And all of the confessionals are like, way to make this moment about you. And I was like, it really just felt like a reverse Laganja at that moment where she had to take the moment away from everybody else and put it on her. But as our friend Chris in Florida said, when I told him that I was watching the show, he's like, oh, is that the Lizzo show about a competition for a performance that never happened in a tour that never materialized? I was like, yes. Because Hurricane Ida washed out Bonnaroo last year. So this whole thing that they were working towards didn't actually happen. So in turn, they went to the next stop, which was, I forget, it's kind of like in Lizzo's home turf of where she started her solo career. And they did the performance, and then she ends up cutting a couple of the girls at the end of it that don't make it to tour with her. But if you saw any of Lizzo's Facebook like stories a little while ago, or if you keep up with her stuff, she did a pop-up show in New York before she did Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
And the big girls from the show were there giving out pizza to people standing in line, and it also included some of the girls that did not make it all the way to tour. So she is still working with and giving opportunities to these girls. And I mean, she spent a lot of time with them. She spent, you know, a month and a half or 2 months with these girls. And it's good to see that they are still getting to grow and develop. But it also gave us a glimpse into one of the songs called Naked, which I guess was supposed to be the follow-up song after Rumors that it looks like did not materialize as a single. But we also were just treated to the next single off of Lizzo's upcoming album called About Damn Time.
I love it so much. It's so good.
It's Bad Bitch O'Clock, and it's Thick 30.
Thick 30.
My new catchphrase. It's Thick 30. But yeah, so I mean, I didn't even save that for like an add-on into the one-up because I got some music stuff. But Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, her new song, the album, all of this, it's a Lizzo summer. So go enjoy it. It's eight episodes, about 45 minutes. So you're talking about 6-ish hours that you're going to be devoting to this. Watch it. Feel the feels. Feel the warmth and the love. Even when these girls get eliminated or not asked to go on tour, it's done in such a positive and uplifting way, and just really honoring and respecting the work that they've done, telling them what they need to work on. And that, like, at the end of the concert, when she tells there's two girls that she doesn't ask to go on tour with her, she's like, if there's a music video, if there's a performance, if there's this, I will call you. I will, you know, I will have you come back and do these things. Just because, like, those, a lot of the issue is endurance, and doing 90 minute concerts multiple times on a tour,
yeah,
was not in their wheelhouse. But a music video, a performance, you know, like, these are all things that they've gotten experience with now. It just felt so good. It was just such a feel good moment. And Lizzo's a damn treasure of a person. So, and there's appearances by SZA and a bunch of other people that are just great, like, characters throughout this whole thing, and just great people. So, can't recommend it enough. Watch Out for the Big Girls on Amazon Prime Video. Go check it out. All right. Time for our one-ups. These are the things that are giving me life, and it's everything. I haven't watched the masterclass, so my voice as an instrument is not perfected yet. So soon, I'd say. All right, let's go the other way around. Brian, why don't you kick us off? What is your one-up for this episode?
So I wanted to give a quick little mini one-up to Coachella, because I have never, ever...
I don't know her.
I've never really ever cared about music festivals in really real tangible sense. Like, they're interesting, and yeah, I would never probably go to one. However, well, that's not true. I guess I've been to them, but not in that traditional, like, multi-stage, you know, whatever. But like, Coachella this year booked some surprising choices, and the performances have been available online for people to watch. I will say specifically two that caught my eye, and I'm sure there are more. Danny Elfman, who is at
surprisingly
60,
ripped
at 68 years old, which I don't know, in my head I felt like he was older, but only in the sense that he's been around forever. But 68, dude looks amazing, shirtless, up there rocking it to his music. And I don't just mean his Oingo Boingo stuff, I don't just mean his solo stuff, I mean his orchestral soundtracks.
Yep.
Bitch got a full, or, you know, full enough orchestra up on stage and was playing like the Simpsons and some other stuff. Unbelievable from what I saw. Of also the visuals that did for his newest album is pretty trippy and crazy. And Utadu, I'm gonna say her name wrong. How can I say her name wrong? Simple and clean.
Hikaru Utada?
Thank you.
How dare you, sir?
Listen, I don't know what it is with their name. By the way, they're non-binary. I did learn that. I think we may have even talked about it. Anyway, but I will tell you, their performance was well intended, but when you actually go to listen to it, just be ready to just, you know, go with it. It's challenged. I'm guessing that they could not hear themselves very well in the mix because, but I love that the programmers for this festival decided to book those two. Cause that's not what I would have ever expected from that kind of festival. So go look those up on Twitter. I think mostly those are where they're at. But my big one up is for Upload. Season 2 finally came out.
Oh.
If you're not familiar, this is a Amazon Prime sci-fi speculative fiction show about the near future where you can basically upload your consciousness into an MMO for the afterlife. And season 1 had an end, like a cliffhanger-y ending with Steve ML's character being frozen because he reached his bandwidth cap, being stuck down in the 2G sort of segment of the afterlife, digital afterlife.
Not the 2G.
3G? Nope.
Damn.
2G. But no, it kicks back up pretty quickly into what made it special in the first season, exploring sort of like it's the guy who did The Office, Greg Daniels. So it's got a lot of great satire baked throughout about like modern companies and then their futuristic equivalents, if you will, and not even like calling it, you know, something else, like, no, straight up, like, you know, Whole Foods is bought by, like, you know, Playboy or something. Like, it's random and weird, and the way they kind of mix and match and sort of show future trends. Anyway, Upload's great. It's a fairly short season. It does end on another cliffhanger, but we're all hoping, especially now, that they're going to at least do a third season to continue the adventures. So Upload is back on Amazon Prime and you should check it out.
I need to watch season 2. I watched season 1 and I know that back in the day, Josh talked about it as one of his topics. And I saw that it was out. I need to watch season 2. All right, BJ, what you got?
All right, so real quickly, Love, Death, and Robots season 3 is coming out May 20th. So that is my little side mention. And if
was
you
a season
had
two?
Season Damn. 3. Yeah.
I know, but there was a season 2?
Yeah.
I missed that completely. Because I think you talked about season 1 probably back around the time that we talked about Upload.
I think so, yeah. Also, if those of you that have been listening very, very closely, I have mentioned a superhero twice today in the podcast recording, and that is because, for my one-up, I did not know that Kevin Conroy is gay. Like, had no idea.
Where
voice
you been?
Of Batman.
Where voice- have you been?
Oh, don't you start, Mr. Like... You deep dive into art inspirations for comic book artists. I don't want to hear it from you.
I'm just saying that this is I saw someone post this and it was actually a whole thing about how, oh my God, how do we, it's like, girl, he's been out for a decade or more. I mean, he's been out for a while, but it is still a delight that more and more people are realizing this. And paying the homage and respect to the master voice talent that is Kevin and actor. He has shown up in a few things as well.
He's been Batman.
He has been Batman. Old man Batman, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who had a male lover, and it was the Crisis Event. Yeah, that version, right. That variant of Bruce Wayne had a boyfriend and everything living with him, a black boyfriend, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, a black boyfriend living up in the Wayne Manor. But also a big thing is that he is writing on the Pride special for coming out for DC Comics. So that's coming.
I found out that he's a born and raised Long Islander. He's my people.
See, I knew that. See, I knew he was from. I knew he was from Long Island. How? It was the weirdest. It was the most surreal thing to me because I'm sitting there and I'm like, and when I think about it, I'm like, no, that's pretty obvious. Like, So it wasn't until I was looking up. I was looking up stuff for DC Pride 2022, and he is going to be writing. Which story is it? He is writing it's a segment called Finding Batman. And Jay Boone is the artist. So I am very much looking forward to that. And now I want to go back and rewatch everything involving him and overanalyze it like a weird homosexual who is almost 40. So that's what I'm going to spend part of my evening doing instead of my reading for grad school. So still have an A in the class.
Was that your big announcement, or are you saving that for the very end of the show?
No, that was the big thing I wanted to announce, is that, wow, that one, Kevin Conroy's gay, but more so, he will be writing a story. It's a bigger deal that he's going to be writing something for the DC Pride event for 2022, which I loved their last one, so I'm actually very excited for their Pride book for this year. So, and that's all I got.
Nice. All right. So a couple of things from me. First off, I did not know this until the other day when somebody on my Twitter feed said that their Janelle Monáe book was going to be arriving in a day or two. But Janelle Monáe has a book that just released today as we are recording on the 19th of April. It's called The Memory Librarian and Other Stories of Dirty Computer. It is a... let's see. I want to give a good description of what this is. I'll read a little description from it. Janelle Monáe and an incredible array of talented collaborating creators have written a collection of tales comprising the bold vision and powerful themes that have made Monáe such a compelling and celebrated storyteller. Dirty Computer introduced a world in which thoughts, as a mean of self-conception, could be controlled or erased by a select few. And whether human, AI, or other, your life and sentience was dictated by those who'd convinced themselves they had the right to decide your fate. That was until Jane 57821 decided to remember and break free. Expanding from that mythos, these stories fully explore what it's like to live in such a totalitarian existence and what it takes to get out of it. So, for those of you who've been around for a while or who know me, know that Dirty Computer is probably one of my all-time favorite albums as a whole. I have it tattooed on my wrist. The emotion picture, 42 or so minutes of just amazingness. If you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor and do that. And now this book is going to expand that world through stories by Janelle Monáe herself and other storytellers, this Afrofuturistic world. And I am excited. I am going to be purchasing a copy and going to force myself to read it. I'm not a book reader, but I'm going to. Obviously, I made a brief mention of a second piece at the beginning of the one-ups portion, but Masterclass with Mariah Carey and The Voice as an Instrument is now currently out, including a confirmation from her that I believe it's in the class itself, she works with Brandy and re-recorded her song The Roof, which was a sultry and seductive song from her Butterfly album. Oh god, I'm gonna lose my Mariah Carey gay card if I got that wrong, and I'm not looking it up, but I'm pretty sure it's Butterfly. Amazing song. If you haven't seen it, there's also a remix with Mobb Deep, I believe, on the track. Great song, and I'm excited to hear with Brandy doing the background vocals for it. So if you are a Mariah Carey fan like I am, Masterclass with Mariah Carey, letting you into the Butterfly Lounge for the first time ever, so, and teaching you the voice as an instrument, super exciting. Last bit on the music front that I will talk about, Trixie Mattel has announced what some are speculating to be her final albums. There are two, because I guess in something that she had said, it was that she basically has kind of come to the logical conclusion and she's done as much as she can as a musician or a drag musician. But she is releasing two albums, the Pink and the Blonde album, if I'm not mistaken. And the biggest piece of amazingness for me, as a callback to earlier in this episode, one of the featured artists on, I believe, the Pink album is Michelle Branch. Trixie Mattel and Michelle Branch are doing a song together, and I cannot wait for it. I am so excited. My gay little heart just got, went through the roof when I saw that. So,
have you seen or heard Come On Loretta?
I haven't. I saw the preview like clip for it on social media. It's on, you know, they put them up on all the platforms. I saw the video clip with, oh shit. There was like Michael a video Henry? Teaser. And what's that?
Michael Henry's in it, but I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
As the ball boy.
Yeah. I need somebody though, and I could probably Google and figure this out, but I have not yet. She plays, it's a tennis match, right? And she plays somebody, and I can't place who that is. It almost looks like Adam Sandler, but I know it's not Adam Sandler. But if someone could help me figure out who her opponent is, and if it's anyone I should know. Also, I believe Leland from Drag Race, all the music stuff they're doing these days, I believe
the new
he's
Lucian
in the-
Piani?
Yes, the new Lucian Piani, the less crazy, whatever one.
Less problematic Lucian.
I think he's in the video. I think he's in the band. So I didn't know if that had, if I didn't realize that he was also working with her, not that I should be shocked. But if someone could help me figure out who the tennis player that she plays is plays against, I would love that because it's driving me crazy. But it's a great video. It's cute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. I have not had a chance. I know it just came out recently, but I'm excited and I can't wait for Trixie Mattel to come out and I can't wait for the Pink and Blonde albums to come out because I love me some Trixie Mattel music. I have video games, her cover of video games on one of my playlists. I listen to it often. Yeah, so a lot of music in my world right now and I love it. I'm stoked because... Hayley Kiyoko is going out on tour this summer. I missed the Fletcher tour. Oh, one last thing, and I will throw this out there, and then we will wrap up. I got to see Man on Man. So,
oh, how was that?
It was interesting. I couldn't hear them.
Oh,
I was the old man at the club. Like it was at this little music venue. They had two opening acts. I can't remember the second one. The first opening act was Bev Rage and the Drinks. So Beverage and the Drinks. a drag queen fronted rock and roll band based out of Chicago. So I talked to Bev after the show. So I'm going to see about trying to get her on, do a little chatty chat. But like they were cool. They had some fun little songs. And then second act went up. It felt very Enya-y, very like spacey, but it sounded like the same music for a good 40 minutes straight, and I was nodding off in the back because I'm old and it was late.
Was it facilitating your release from consciousness?
Oh god. I'm Julie. But anyway, and then Man Oh Man came up to perform. And their sound mix was really bad. It was all music, and I could barely hear them. And what I could hear was good and was cool, and they did a great job, but I could barely hear the words. And that's, like, I want to hear them singing. Like, I want to hear the songs. So and
for the audience, like, they may not know who Man on Man is. How would you describe them as an act?
So, Man on Man... if you know of or have listened to Faith No More, Roddy Bottoms is from the band Faith No More. He and his partner, Joey Holman, who was a musician as well, and in his younger days was in a Christian rock band, I believe, is what he was saying.
No way, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So when COVID hit, Joey's mom had recently passed away. And Roddy's mom got sick, so they drove from New York to California, brought some instruments with them because they had a quarantine, obviously, for a couple of weeks. And they had never written music together before. So they started kind of writing songs to and about each other. And it grew into a musical endeavor. I would say they're kind of a rockish... punk, pop, rock kind of experience. Daddy is the first video that was released like early on in 2020 when they were doing this project. And they have songs like Stoner and 1983. And I think one is like Pig Boy. And that was actually one of the ones I really liked. I can't remember the full name, but they're interesting. Go check them out. Daddy like blew up on YouTube, was taken down. Like YouTube like pulled it for quote unquote terms violations, and then they got it put back up, and it's done numbers for them. Dipper was on a bunch of their dates as the opener for them. And then I actually found out that they were performing because they use the apps to promote. And Roddy sent out a growler shout. So I was chatting with him for a little bit before the show and bought a t-shirt, got a picture with them, and got to meet them. So it was really cool. So lots of good music stuff happening in my world. And as most of you all know, I love me some music. So go check out Man on Man. Go check out Come On Loretta and Trixie's Pink and Blonde album. Check out Dirty Computer by Janelle Monáe and all of her great stuff. And check out Mariah. And check out The Roof. If you haven't listened to The Roof, go listen to The Roof because that is a good song. The Roof, Breakdown, and then just listen to Caution because it deserves more love.
Okay, you need to post some of this on the Facebook page.
I
you just listed like four artists and five songs. You need... I was going to say, go on YouTube and throw something up.
I'll put some videos up there. I'll put the masterclass like promo trailer up there. I'll put some stuff up on Facebook. BJ, now you know what my life was like for like 6 years. So no, I will definitely put some of that stuff up there because there are a lot of great musicians and some great indie musicians in there as well. So those links will be up on the Facebook page very shortly. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening to us this month again. You can check us out online on our website at flameonshow.com. There you can find all of our social media links, our Twitch links, our Threadless shop. All of that is up on our website. And you can also find a link to our Patreon, or you can go to patreon.com/flameonshow. Join at any one of the four levels that we have available and help support this program. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on this journey. And we'll be back in two more weeks with another microsode, which might be a super duper drag race spectacular. And I might call in some reinforcements to dish on the drag race. We'll see. We'll see. There's some Twitter people that I think would be a good addition that have some opinions and hot takes. And y'all have heard the shit that we talk. So a couple of extra voices might be fun to throw into the mix. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time. Bye, bitch.
Bye.
See ya.
Is together your favorite place to be. Cook a Disney-themed meal with your family. Easy peasy to make and well-balanced too. There's an Ocado just for you.
Feed a family of four for £8 or less with Ocado's new Disney-inspired meal bundles.
There's an Ocado just for you.
Subject to availability, geographical restrictions and delivery charges apply. Minimum trolley spend £40. Full T's and C's at ocado.com.